I was getting ready for this week and thinking about Josh being here with his family and the message and various things. A couple things happened during this week in my life that just related to it all. So I want to tell you one thing that happened. I got an email from a church, and it was a church that over a year and a half ago I had sent my resume into. And so I saw the church name, I go, that sounds familiar. I open it up, and I go, oh, okay. And the email went something like this. We are still looking for a senior pastor, and we were going through our records, and we changed some of our process in our search committee, and we realized that about a year and a half ago, we sent you an email saying that we didn't think you'd be a good fit. Thanks, God bless you. And as we have evaluated things, we realized we meant to send that email to another guy. And then they go on and say, we know that you're now in Wisconsin. And I'm like, how do they know that? I don't have a Facebook. I'm not on social media. We now know that you're now in Wisconsin, but we're wondering, would you still be interested for the job? Yada, yada, yada. And I hit reply, and I typed, ha, no. And then I backspaced, and then I said a nicer, email. But I got to tell you, God is so good. God is so cool, because this church, its location, I won't tell you the location, but its location is a very attractive location for me. And so if I would have, back in that time, not knowing what I know now, I would have put that church a little higher on the priority just because it's the location. But God, being as good as he is, and as wise as he is, and as awesome as he is, what did he do? He said, nope, we're taking that out. Then this morning, I'm driving here, and the song Be Thou My Vision comes on, and I'm like, yep, that's my God. He's setting my vision. He's being my vision. He's allowing me to see the things I need to see. He's giving me wisdom and discernment from above that I don't even know he's doing for me. So thank you, God. Thank you, God. I am so grateful to be here. And I relate that with the Cease family coming in and saying, Lord, would you continue to give us that kind of clarity of vision, that kind of discernment, that kind of wisdom for our faith community church as we move into the future? Lord, not our plans, but yours. Not our ways, but your ways. And I go back to my own story and I think, wow, like God brought me to Waupaca, Wisconsin. Who knew that after all these years I'd find home? Right? Who knew that God would do such this incredible thing? He knew. As I read Psalm 139, it just is so amazing how great and sovereign and loving and caring our God is. Oh Lord, you have searched me, you know me. You know when I sit down, when I rise up, you discern my thoughts from afar, you search out my path from my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all together. You hem me in behind and before and lay your head upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain it. And then he asks some rhetorical questions. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the utmost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall guide me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light shall be around me, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as the day, for darkness is a light before you. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you. For I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame is not hidden from you. When I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there were none of them. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I were to count them, they would be more than the sand. And then we'll skip a couple of verses. In 23, it says this, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me to the way everlasting." That psalm is so theologically and personally loaded. That psalm is so incredible and deep. And it will be a springboard to what we're talking about today in Genesis. But I want to focus on that last couple of verses. Search me, O God. If there be any grievous way in me, if there's anything in me that is not of you, if there's anything in me that is grievous to you, if there's anything in me that I don't even know that's in there, but you know, and it's not of you, Lord, take it out. Let's deal with it. Search me, God. So let's pray that right now before we jump into our text for the morning. Father, would you search us? Would you guide us? Would you lead us? Lord, as we open up your word, allow it to be fresh to us this morning. Father, as we read your word and what you have done for us, as we explore even more about who you are, Lord, would you open up our eyes to the things that we haven't seen? Would you help us, Lord, to confront the sin that is in our lives? Lord, will your Holy Spirit do his great work in our life of exposing us and leading us into righteousness? Lord, let your word challenge and convict us. Let it be a blessing and an encouragement to us as well. And Father, don't let us leave this room the same way we walked in. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I said earlier we're in Genesis, and if you've been around for the last couple weeks, we are continuing our series in Genesis, and we're just in chapter 1. But I wanted to focus on a couple of key verses, both in chapter 1 and chapter 2, because a few weeks ago we looked at God and what a great creative creator we have, what the triune God, how incredible he is to make everything out of nothing, and how this incredible creative creator loves us with a love that is incomprehensible. And today we're going to focus on man and woman, because these are God's incredible creation, you and me. You know, as when God got done creating each day, he said it was good. It was good. And then the day that he created man and woman, what did he say? It was very good. There's something special about us. Why? We're going to find out today. So open up your Bibles. We're in Genesis chapter 1. And we're going to look at verse 26. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness." There it is, right there. I asked the question a second ago, but there is the answer. Why are we special? Why are we different? Why do we have this incredible worth and value? Why? Because God created us in his image after his likeness. Something that is unique to mankind, something that is unique to us human beings, we are created in the image of the immortal, everlasting, eternal, sovereign, holy, perfect, awesome God. How does that make you feel? All right. Yeah. It should make us scream and shout. It should make us be so joyful and so thankful. It should also make us fall down at our knees and say, "Why me, God?" See, I think that in our world today, we have this idea that some people, they're good people, and some people, they're bad people. Or maybe, in fact, we won't go that far to say, and have you ever seen those videos of people getting interviewed on the street, and they say, are people basically good or basically bad? What do people normally say? Yeah, they're basically good, you know. Everybody has the capacity to do good. Everybody has the capacity to do bad. Well, as we read the Bible, we realize that we have original sin, and we're depraved, and we're bad. The Bible says that no one is righteous. No, not one. The Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But that's after sin. That's after Genesis 3. Here in Genesis 1 and 2, we look at Adam and Eve, and they are in perfect communion, perfect harmony with the God who created them, made after his image, after his likeness. It's a beautiful picture. And so from that moment on, God then says, and finishing chapter 1, verse 26, and let them have dominion over the fish in the sea, over the birds of the heavens, over the livestock, and over all the earth and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. And he blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, of the birds of the heavens, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. God did some really neat things. Not only did he create man and woman in his image, not only did he create them male and female, distinct and separate, not only did he do that, but then he put them to work. Anybody ever wake up in the morning, hit the alarm clock, and you go, oh, gotta go to work, right? I remember back in high school, I was doing some construction, and I would have to wake up really, really early, and I would hit that alarm clock, and I'd wake up, and I'd get to work, because I was working with some Christians at the time, and we would make the joke and say, if it weren't for the fall, if it weren't for sin, if it weren't for Genesis 3, we wouldn't have to work. Well, since then, my theology has developed, and I realized that God put Adam and Eve to work there in the garden. Work is a good thing. Adam and Eve, they had to have dominion over the whole world, over the animals, over the garden, and they had to work. But that work was good. They had a job. They had something to do. And God said, I am blessing these people. I'm giving them purpose. I'm giving them an identity. In today's world, let's just move on, okay? We'll circle back to that. Go to Genesis chapter 2, because here we have like the 10,000-foot view in Genesis 1 about the creation of man and woman, and then here in Genesis 2, it's like the ground level view. We get boots on the ground. We get to see what God is doing and how he is doing this. So in verse 4 of chapter 2, it says this: these are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created. In the day that the Lord God made the heaven or the earth and the heavens, when there were no bushes on the field was yet in the land, and no small plants on the field and yet sprung up, for the Lord had not caused it to rain on the land, and there was no man to work the ground. And a mist was going up from the land and was watering the whole face of the ground. Then the Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living creature. That's pretty incredible. Have you read the creation account? How does God create things? Typically, how do we read that God created something? It says he spoke, right? Let there be light. He spoke, and things happened. He created, the correct terminology is ex nihilo, out of nothing. He created, and he spoke. And the elements obeyed him, and something happened, and something was made. But here, the pattern is broken. What does God do? God, it's almost like he stoops down, and he gets into the dirt, he gets in the dust, and what does it say? It says that the Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed life into his nostrils, the breath of life. That's cool, isn't it? In order to create us, in order to create man and woman, in order to create the human race, what did God do? He stooped down to give us life. It's almost like that's a little shadow, a little foretaste, a little idea, a little hint of what is to come. Because here in the Old Testament, in Genesis, God comes down to give us life. And then in John chapter 1, what do we read? The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. God, once again, stoops down into the dust to give us life. Isn't that cool? Have you ever thought of it in that way? Have you ever realized just how creative our God is and how exact and precise he is? So what do we take away from this? We take away from this that God really, really, really loves us, doesn't he? And what else do we take away from this? That every single person is made in the image of God. Every single person is formed by his hands. Psalm 139. What did we just read earlier? You wove me together. You knew me before I was formed. So what does that do for us? How does that inform our view, our attitude towards people? If you're like me, which we change, don't we? I used to think I was an extrovert, and now I think I'm really an introvert. I really like to be in the woods alone. I love people. I really, 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 really love people. But there's an element in me that just loves to just be alone. But there, and here's the reason. Sometimes I'll be driving in my car, and somebody will cut me off, and you know what I do? I have formed an opinion of them, and I know who they are. I know all the bad things that they've done in life. I know how much of a horrible human being they are, and I realize that that person that just cut me off, they probably should be going to prison because of all the things that they've done wrong in this earth, right? Wow. Am I the only one that does that, right? I guess so. Oh, that's a bummer, right? But when we see people that are good to us, maybe we'll stick with the analogy, the person that lets us go. We're at a stop sign, and they say, they do the little wave. Oh, what a nice person. Wow, I bet they go to church, right? Or what about this? What about this one, right? You're driving, and anybody do this? You got your hands on the steering wheel, and somebody's coming, and what's the kind, courteous, good person thing to do, right? Give them a little wave, right? If you're really feeling it, you could do the half a hand, right? And if you don't get one of those, they're a bad person. No, those people on the road, or those people in your work, or those people in your family, or those people in your church, those people are made in the image of God. And they have value, they have worth, they have dignity. And that is God-given. And here's the thing. Even non-believers, even the people on the other side of the aisle, even the people that really, really make our blood boil, them too. They're made in the image of an almighty God. They're made in the image of a God who knows them and loves them. They have value, they have worth. And so we as believers should be the biggest champions of caring for individuals. This whole week, if you've been watching the news, we've had the March for Life. We've had this news cycle about potentially Roe versus Wade going away. And we've heard all these things. And that's good. As believers, we should be the loudest to champion the preciousness of life, shouldn't we? As believers, we should be the ones that are leading the charge about protecting the most innocent. We should also, as believers, be the ones that are leading the charge about caring for those in society that are left out of the picture, that are trampled on, that are kind of pushed to the edge, the outcasts. Why? Because they're made in the image of our God. Because as image bearers, they have value and dignity and worth. Because as image bearers, they matter. Because as image bearers, they reflect. It's a marred reflection. It's a messed up reflection. It's really, really messy, but they still reflect our great and awesome God. So as believers, we should be the ones that are most loving, that are most kind. We should be the ones that are responding with tender and careful words. We should be looking to lift others up. Whether they're believers or not, we should be willing to love them. And what does it mean to love them? What does it mean for us to look at people and say, you matter to God? I think the biggest and best way is to tell them about that God. The biggest and best way is to tell them about the God who stooped down into the dust, formed them, and knew them before they were formed, knew them before their parents were formed, who cared for them, who then, after stooping down into the dust and forming them, years later, sent his son to stoop down into the dust and save them from the sins that they were guilty of. That's the most loving thing we could ever do for somebody, is tell them about the hope and the life that is in Jesus. The most loving thing we could ever do for somebody is to tell them the gospel message that God loves them, that they are important to him, that they have an incredible value and worth, and their identity is not based off of the things that they think. They're not based off of the things they feel. Their identity is wrapped up, or should be wrapped up, into the person and work of Jesus Christ. And the fact that that God knows them and loves them so much that even though they were sinners, even though they had messed up, even though they had rejected him and become enemies of him, even though they wanted nothing to do with him, that God loved them so much that he came and sent his son to live on this earth, live a perfect life, go to the cross, die the death that they deserve, and then rise again from the dead. And that he's coming back. That's the best way we can love people. And so, okay, you might be saying, I got you. Yep, let's love people. Hey, you're a sinner. You're going to hell. You should love Jesus. Turn to him. Repent. Is that how we go about it? There's truth and love, right? We speak the truth in a loving way. I think there's a way that we can reach this dead and dying world, starting from the baseline understanding that every single human matters. Whether they are born or unborn, whether they are Republican or Democrat, whether they name the name of Jesus or not, every single human being matters. Every single human being is made in the image of our God. And I won't go into all the cultural debates. I won't tell you that there's so much junk out there. But I will say this. I think the enemy of our souls, the accuser of the brethren, Satan himself, is running wild right now. He really is trying to mess with people's identity. He's trying to tell people that they are things that they're not. And I think that the more kind that we respond to that, the better that we stand for truth in love, I think that God can and will do some great things through us. He said that there's nothing that the gates of hell can throw at us that can withstand his church. And where is church? We are the body of Christ here on earth. There is nothing that God cannot accomplish through us if we would be willing to listen and obey him. If we would be willing to say, Lord, I'm yours. I surrender all. Thank you for making me. Thank you for caring for me. Thank you for stooping down twice to give me life. Thank you, Lord, for that. I'm yours. Use me. Help me to impact my community. Help me to impact my family, my workplace. Help me, Lord. I'm yours. I think that if as individuals we do that, then wow, what could we do as a community? What could God do in us and through us if we just say, Lord, I'm made in your image. Thank you for that. Those people out there, they're made in your image too. Help me to love them. Help me to love them well. We need to see people the way that God sees people. We need to see people the way that he views them. And if we go back to Psalm 139, we know that God knows them. He knows them better than they know themselves. And he certainly loves them more than they love themselves. So if our God cares for people in such a way, how about us? I think that's something that we can do. Father, thank you for this day. We thank you for your great love. Lord, even as we just take some small glimpses in Genesis, we can see that you know us, you love us, you care for us, and you made human beings, man and woman, male and female. You made us, and you made us special. You made us unique. You made us different from the rest of creation. And Lord, you have a purpose and a plan for us. Help us with that information to see people the way you see people. Help us to love people in the way that you love them. Help us to be bold and loving in the way that we share that good news gospel message. And give glory to you every single day of our lives. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.